Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna. Jai Radhe.
Jai Shri Krishna.
Wow, so many people have come. I thought it was just going to be one or two. I'm sorry I'm late. Actually, I was, funny enough, I had a program last night as well. I was up really late. 2 a.m, actually. It's not the best when you're sick. I don't know why being sick doesn't seem to change things with me. Some of the other people seem to end up in bed sick. I seem to end up in airplanes in people's homes. It was nice in Brazil. We went and did some nice programs. And the weather there is very nice. And generally it was very peaceful. Did a lot of reading and chanting. Probably the most peaceful time I've had in long time. It wasn't Vrindavan, but I think it was materially as near as you get to a heavenly situation. The sun was 80 degrees every day. And the atmosphere, right outside the door, this little bird would come. What do they call that? It can hover in the flower.
Hummingbird.
Hummingbird. It can hover in the flower. So when I saw that, I said, how can they say there's no God? Such a miraculous. It's like the bird is so small, it can go in the flower, and it can hover in complete suspension, without any, what they call it, defying the laws of physics. Did you know the bumblebee also defies the laws of physics? Bumblebee is aerodynamically too big for its wings. It's impossible for it to fly. But it flies. So one time we were on a morning walk with Prabhupada. We were here, just down the road. And Prabhupada saw these spiders that made some webs. So Prabhupada said, inside the spider, there is the possibility of doing such a thing. Who has put it there? You see? Because it's inside the spider, it's not outside the spider. See, if you build a house, you build it with things outside. If you had a house inside you, that's called a chincha shakti. A chincha means inconceivable power. So Prabhupada said every single human being has inconceivable power. But that inconceivable power is relative to their body. In other words, according to their body, it's inconceivable. So the spider, even according to modern scientists, the web itself is 10 times tougher than steel, if you analyze it in relative terms. That means it's very powerful. And it's inside. And how does it come out? And Prabhupada gives the example of the cow. So the cow is bringing out yogurt, ghee, milk. From inside, you see? Not from outside. So, modern science, they can't make ghee. They can't make ghee. And if you give them grass, can they make ghee? They can't make ghee. So even though they have so much power, but they can't do anything substantial. You see? So therefore, their power is Maya Pritigyan, stolen by illusion, because they don't even have the power to see. Maya Pritigyan means they don't see anything. They're in illusion. So a simple devotee, he can see these things. And Prabhupada, of course, wasn't a simple devotee, but he could see so many things. And those things were astronomically huge in scientific terms. Because they were profound realizations. So realizing Krishna doesn't mean to become big philosopher. Actually, it simply means to acknowledge Krishna. Nothing else. Prabhupada said that one time. He said, if you acknowledge Krishna, that's all. Krishna is not asking anything else. Now, suppose I'm in the room and you don't acknowledge me. It's painful, isn't it? Now, to be in the room, the only thing I want is acknowledgement. I don't want credibility. You don't have to credit me, but if you ignore me, that's painful. So Prabhupada said that Krishna wants you to acknowledge him. That's all. And science means to ignore him. You understand? That's why Prabhupada was so angry with scientists, because they ignore him. So that's called Maya Pritigyan. Their knowledge is stolen by illusion because they're not acknowledging. So material energy is very wonderful because her whole business is to make you acknowledge Krishna. You see? She'll push you. You want to go away from Krishna, but she'll make sure wherever you run, she'll kick you in the face. So you have to come back to some idea of Krishna. So I think that was one of the beauties of being with Prabhupada was, of course, Prabhupada was always completely in love with Krishna, but he also had the wonderful ability to acknowledge Krishna in everything, absolutely everything. And because of that, I think if you want to describe a pure devotee, he's one who brings Krishna out from everything. You know, this ability to bring Krishna out. Most people are trying to hide Krishna. They want to, if you like, hide the concept of God. So atheism means to hide God. Theism means to bring God out. Unfortunately, nowadays, God has become sort of sentimental. People have an idea, sentimental, no scientific idea. So to bring Krishna out is very difficult because they don't have an idea of Krishna. They don't have an idea of God. And therefore, they see it as a kind of sentimental. Religion has become more of a sentimental hodgepodge and not a lot of substance. But the beauty of a devotee is that he can see Krishna in everything. Yeah. So I was thinking one morning walk, we were in Regent's, say Russell Square with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned, you know, he used to stick a stick in the ground. So he turned to us and he looked at all of us. There was about 3 GBC men also. And he looked and he said, "The problem is none of you believe in Krishna." Every one of us. Prabhupada was looking at every one of us. He said, "The problem is none of you believe in Krishna." And he said it very gravely, and I was really, really shocked. Because generally Prabhupada was always very accommodating to our situation, spiritual situation, our spiritual naivety. But this morning walk, he said, "The problem is none of you believe in Krishna." And none of us could argue. So Prabhupada said, "This is the problem. One has to believe in Krishna." So the point Prabhupada was making was that many times we are actually doing devotional service, but we don't believe in Krishna. We don't believe in Krishna, you see. What we do is we have faith. And faith is very delicate, because faith can change. Therefore, that platform is not very steady, nishta. It's not fixed up. So you have to be careful with faith. After all, how many devotees leave ISKCON? Think about it. Have you ever counted? How many go? How many come? What is it the Christians say? Many come, but few are chosen. So we should also not become casualty of that powerful material energy, that we come into such a wonderful situation where we don't take full advantage. So that's why we need to capture a very rare opportunity to associate with, of course, powerful, unlimitedly powerful Vaishnavas and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. So I wanted to sing one quick song. Nittai Parakamala is my favorite song, one of my favorites. Quickly. Actually, I'll just play kartals. We have good mridanga players. You don't mind?
Nitai parakamala kote chanda shushitala ye chaya jagatu nitai parakamala kote chanda shushitala ye chaya jagatu Parakamala Kote Chandra Shushitala Ye Chaya Jagati
Let me turn it off completely. Otherwise, they'll come back. Hina nitha bina ba Radha Krishna patina Drira kore dharo nitha ba Hina nitha Atina Drida Kore Dharonita Drida Kore Dharonita Pasho Bharatura Chara Isha Mangana Ida Ida Jambangana Devanto Ida Ida Yomoki Majali Vidya Kule Ketori Mota Nitana Bali Omoki Majiro Shantara Suke Vidya Kule Ankara Matavaya Nittai Paramachireya Asatera Satya Kurumani Ankara Matavaya Nittai Paramachireya Asatera Satya Kurumani Nitaye Corona Ave Raja Rara Krishna Pave Nitaye Corona Ave Nitaye Corona Ave Raja Rara Krishna Pave Thank you.
Nitaye charana satya, nitaye charana satya, tara sevaka nita, nita pada sada koro asa. Pada sada kurasa Naratama buraduki Nitai mora kurasuki Raparanga charanera pasa
Nanda. Ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. My dear Lord Nityananda, you are always joyful in spiritual bliss, since you always appear very happy. I have come to you because I am most unhappy. So Prabhupada says, you should never be unhappy. Devotee can't be unhappy. If you're unhappy, Prabhupada said you're in Maya. He said that one time. He said, if you're unhappy, you're in Maya. Because to be unhappy for a devotee is very unusual. Devotee should never be unhappy. Because to be unhappy means you're in the bodily concept of life. As soon as you touch matter, you become unhappy. So therefore, if we're unhappy, that means we're in Maya. Prabhupada said that too. In a good number of occasions. One time this boy was very miserable. And he told Prabhupada, I feel miserable. Prabhupada said, yes, because you're in Maya. So, when you're in Maya, you're miserable. Maya means false concept of life. So, Lord Nityananda is never in the false concept of life. So he's always happy. Premananda, he's always tasting the sukhi, the sweetness of Premananda. So in the material world there's no sweetness because everything is dead matter. And there's no sweetness. It's very hard to be sweet. How many people here are sweet? Huh? Sweet person. Very hard to be a sweet person. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to be frustrated. It's easy to be lamenting. It's easy to be miserable. But it's not easy to be sweet, because sweetness comes from the soul. So to find the soul in the body, it's quite a hard thing. So we're covered over by these associations with the material body. So therefore we should never be unhappy, because the devotee is always associating with Lord Nityananda, and therefore Lord Nityananda was always happy. You never read any pastimes really where Lord Nityananda was unhappy, except to see Jagai Madai. So the devotee also becomes unhappy to see the Jagai Madats, because the devotee feels great compassion at how these people are suffering. So therefore, the nature of a pure devotee is they actually come here to benedict the fallen conditioned souls. And I wanted to read something which I find to be indicative of, I think, Prabhupada's mood and also the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta. I love this particular. It was actually one of the instructions he gave when he was sending envoys to the West. And this was the first time that he'd actually sent these devotees to England, to Europe. So I think it also conveys Prabhupada's mood when he came. The happy day has come when we are... This is by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's a discourse he gave before they left for the West. And it's from his lectures. It's a good translation. Prabhupada said the translation was good. The happy day has come when we are destined to spread the message of our great master to distant corners of the earth. The spiritual service to which we are dedicated has now passed the bud stage and blown fully into a flower whose aroma we have to carry across the seas with that willingness which characterized Sri Hanuman when he leapt over the wide ocean with the message of Sri Ram. You ever remember Prabhupada used to say, big fat monkey, big fat belly, jump to Lanka, melancholy. You ever heard that? It's a very... Prabhupada used to quote it. There were many people who were envious of Prabhupada, so they were criticized. The Prabhupada, what has he done? Anyone could have done, but no one did. So Prabhupada gives the example when Columbus discovered America. Then he went back to see many of the great explorers, and they were sitting in a room. And they said, what you've done, anyone could have done, because you just sailed into a piece of land. So he said, okay. He had some There was eggs on the table. So he said, make this egg stand up. So no one could make the egg stand up because it was an impossible feat. So after they fiddled around for quite a while, he took an egg, he just cracked it slightly at the bottom, enough for it to stand up. So then he said to them, anyone could have done, but I have done. You see? So Prabhupada used that example, that of all the great servants of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada was the only one who did it. And therefore, sometimes Hanuman, there were many monkeys, they were also big monkeys. And the job they had was to jump to Ceylon to get Ravana. But only Hanuman could jump. So big fat belly, melancholy. You know melancholy? That means lamenting. So this happy day has come. When to leap over the wide ocean with the message of Sri Ram, the extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual gift to foreign countries is our humble offering at his feet. Those words are very, very important. That is the core heart of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's desire. Because if you listen to it very careful, this extension of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual gift to foreign countries is our humble offering at his feet. So therefore the spreading of Krishna consciousness in the Western world is the humble offering of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Lord Chaitanya's feet. The backbone of our mats, and then he goes on to mention the cause of the mats. He said the secondary limbs, weapons and associates of Sri Guru Sundar have been the bedrock basis of the propaganda to all parts of the world. The words of instruction of Sri Guru Sundar are verily his beautiful body. The preachers of his word through the ages are his secondary limbs. The teachings of Sri Guru Sundar are his potent weapon. And the grace of Sri Hari himself, established in the word of Sri Chaitanya, is his eternal associate. Therefore, for the purpose of truly presenting Sri Guru Sundar, the Lord of the Gaudiyas, to the aliens, I am addressing these few words of mine to the preachers who are about to proceed to countries beyond India. We find the following great precepts, Mahavakya, in the body of the teachings that has been vouchsafed to us by the Supreme Master of all Masters, to chant constantly the discourse of Hari. Now these words are very profound. To chant constantly the discourse of Hari by being one, extremely more humble than the blade of grass. Extremely more humble than the blade of grass. And one time, actually Prabhupada revealed that that was his weapon of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. He always stayed more humble than a blade of grass. Two, by being more forebearing as a tree. Three, by seeking no honor for oneself. And four, by offering due honor to all entities in the highest natural, is the highest natural function of the unalloyed individual soul, the jivas. The lotus feet of my Sri Gurudev attracted me to his service by the manifestation of his living embodiment of these four precepts. My friends will be in a position to attract all souls of the world to the footstool of the real truth by purchasing the same unfailing method. The crest jewel of the order of sannyasis of the triple star of Sri Prabhunananda Saraswati Goswami Pad has said the same process to those who assume the triple star of renunciation in the following words. I say this by holding the straw between my teeth, by falling at your feet and uttering hundreds of the humblest entreaties. All ye good souls, by throwing off everything to a distance, practice love to the feet of Sri Chaitanya, who is so surpassingly beautiful. Following in the footsteps of all the former devotees, I am making my submission to him to purchase the identical method of propaganda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev is the supreme teacher of all teachers of this world and the ideal possessor of intelligence that is the highest of all. It should be our only duty to constantly chant those words regarding the cleansing of the mirror of the heart of which he speaks in his eight precepts, the Shastikam. We are only the bearers of the transcendental word. We shall never in any way hesitate to offer every honor and facility for which they are eligible to all persons of this world. We must pray to all for the boon of aptitude for the service of Krishna. We shall come across many persons in this world possessing an endless variety of characters, disposed or hostile to the service of Krishna. But we should not slacken in our loving service to the Lord of our hearts and shall offer due honor to all persons. We will have opportunities as we approach different persons in all parts of the world with the vendor's bag of the discourse of Hari to see a good many sights and to hear much and to seek to derive much benefit from our experience. May we never forget that all entities of this world are essentially proteges of the lotus feet of Sri Guru for helping the expansion of his service. May we always remember that the excellences only, if they are prepared, may we always remember that the excellences only, if they are prepared to wait with the utmost eagerness on the particle of dust of the lotus feet of my Sri Guru, and that otherwise they are merely the mirage devised by the deluding potency for our ruin. I wish to remind those friends of mine who are proceeding to the West for preaching the words of Sri Chaitanya, the two precepts of my master Sri Rupa. One, the constant endeavor for cultivating relationship with Krishna of a person who, being freed from all mundane affinity, enjoys the entities of this world, having due regard to the propriety of each case. I'll read that again. The constant endeavor for cultivating relationship with Krishna of a person who, being free from all mundane affinity, enjoys the entities of this world, having due regard to the propriety of each case, in pursuance of his purpose, is called the proper kind of renunciation. Two, the abnegation by persons desirous of liberation of entities that have affinity with Hari, in considering their mundane nature, is termed renunciation possessing little real value. It is my request to my friends, by giving divine honor to all persons, to follow in their preaching the ideal of Sri Sanatana Goswami Prabhu in his exposition of the aphorism of the Vedanta. Example, cessation of mundane birth from the transcendental sound, cessation of further birth from sound, under the section of results to be achieved, to be found in such slokas as all glory to the bliss of the name of Murari. Those nations of whom you are going for the propagation of the chant of Hari are mounted on the summit of proficiency in all affairs of this world. They are practiced in the exercise of their rational judgment, are endowed with the quality of good manners, and are superior and glorious in many respects. Therefore, we should maintain our hope, unshaken, that they will prove to be worthiest recipients of the heard transcendental voice. If we unlock to them the gates of the natural exhibition of abiding argument and enduring judgment, if we unpack our baggage of the genuine discourse of Hari, by relying on the qualities of forbearance, it will certainly receive the garland of welcome from the hearts of nations gifted with keen intelligence. Very profound understanding. If you can understand how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew exactly the psychology of the West, and yet he also knew perfectly how to present Krishna consciousness. We have not been actuated by any attempt of rivalry or hostility in undertaking this propaganda. This should always be borne in mind. We should call at the door of each and every seeker of the truth, bearing on our heads the baggage of the real truth to be offered to them. It is no business of ours to be elated or discouraged by the praise or neglect of any person. We must be constantly alive to the duty of enhancing the pleasure of our Master by serving Him with perfect sincerity. We must not look at this world as being weighed down with the mentality that it is oppressed with the sense of deficiency or otherwise, by poverty or otherwise, of a display of worldly erudition, rank, etc., by any particular person. This is a state of forgetfulness of our real selves. All persons of this world are really superior to us in every way. As far as this world is concerned, all those matters are not any commodities that are fit to be coveted by us. We are merely beggars with the triple staff of renunciation devoted to the chanting of the words of Sri Chaitanya. We have no more nor any higher desirable object than the pleasure of serving Sri Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. We are not the operators, we are the instruments. Now this here is a beautiful point that Prabhupada made. Prabhupada said, the reason that I have been able to fulfill my Guru Maharaj's order is I never thought I was master, ever. I never once thought I was master. I always thought I was servant. And this is, if you look at the history of ISKCON, you'll find all the problems were when they thought they were masters. Every single devotee who had difficulty in ISKCON was when he thought he was a master. So you may become very big in this world, and you may become very big in ISKCON. You may become a king. You may become a huge saint. Never think you're a master. Always be the instrument and not the operator. It's a very, very important point. Because the nature of this world is, as soon as we operate nicely, we think we're the operator. We never think we're an instrument. We only think we're an instrument when we're a fool. You understand? When we do stupid things, we think we're an instrument. Because we don't want to be the operator. Because how could an operator do such a stupid thing? So generally, when we join the movement, we're very humble. And we're humble, we clean the floors, we serve the prasadam, we serve the Vaishnavas, we go to kirtans, we even go to evening artis. We even go to mangalats. And you always find the bhaktas go in harinam. Because we're the instruments. Later on we become the operators. You see? When we become the operators, things change. We start to look for instruments to serve us. You see? That is our nature. We start to look around and say, hey, there's a lot of guys here and girls. Maybe they could render some service to me. After all, I become the operator. I used to be for years very humble, but that got a bit difficult. Now I'm Paramahansa, Parabrahmachari, Astatara, Sri Srimad, 100,000,000,008. The greatest thing that ever happened since Lord Chaitanya. But I'm also humbler than a straw in the street. So it's quite difficult to be both, but I manage. So therefore, these points are so profound because they're the psychology of a devotee. And they were the embodiment of Srila Prabhupada. Everyone who knows Prabhupada knew that his quality of humility was heart-shattering. Absolutely heart-shattering. And it wasn't false. It was extremely deep. And that depth was manifested in every thought, word, and deed that Prabhupada did, in every single struggle that he did, in every single thing he achieved. He never once thought he was the operator. And I think one of the most beautiful things was when we were going to one evening program, and it was a very rich house and very wealthy businessman. And Prabhupada wouldn't go in. He stood at the door. And he was standing like this. I don't know if you've seen Prabhupada in that pose. It's a very beautiful, humble pose. So Jamuna asked Prabhupada, when he'd done all that, he finally went in. And she's being very dear to Prabhupada. She said, Prabhupada, why did you do that? You look so immersed in Krishna. He said, oh, I was praying to Krishna to protect me. And she thought, to protect you? How can a pure devotee be protected? Prabhupada said, I was praying to Krishna to protect me, that if I go in the house, please don't let me become attached to this house. So, how many of us would even dream of doing that? I'm not criticizing, but I'm just saying. So that was Prabhupada's humility. That he was praying, don't let me become attached. But we are so fearless, we can go to the movies. And we don't become attached. See, Prabhupada was going in a house of some fat businessman who probably lives a miserable life with all his family anyway. And what would there be to be attached to? I mean, Prabhupada wouldn't get attached to curtains or to the new chandeliers or the beautiful carpet. But still, this is the humility of the devotee, that Prabhupada was taking shelter of Krishna, that you protect me. So we are not the operators, we are the instrument. But we are only the instruments. We must always bear this in mind. The triple bhikshus are the living mridangas of Sri Chaitanya. We staff, because that's what the staff, must constantly give forth our music at the lotus feet of Sri Guru. We should practice the function of the peripatetic. The word peripatetic in English. Have you heard that word, peripatetic? Someone said to me, when I went along for this test, they were analyzing me, and he said, a peripatetic mendicant. He was in Kenya. Somehow or other, they wanted to describe my occupations, so they called it peripatetic. I don't know if they would use the word peripatetic. It sounded pathetic. So I thought it must be me. But in actuality, it's a description of someone who has no shelter. They have no shelter, like mendicant. It's another word for mendicant. But they did use it. Some word like this. Peripatetic. It basically means a beggar. And I actually, today, I rang up the, what they call it, DHSS. I've never done it in my life. Because for medical treatment, I need my national insurance number. And I haven't had one. So I rang the guy, and he answered the phone. And I said, excuse me, I need to know my number. National insurance number. So he said, well, what's your name? So I gave my name and date of birth. He said, you've never given us any money in 36 years. He said, you never paid us anything. He was laughing because it must have come up on the computer blank. Now, national insurance contribution should be paid weekly. I think everyone who works here knows that, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I hadn't paid since I left school. So it was like he said to me, And I said, well, I've never had a job. And then he said, but your date of birth means you're about 48. I said, yeah, I never got a job. So I was having a little rapport with him, making some fun. Because he never understood how anyone could spend a whole life in England and never pay an insurance contribution. So I said to him, but I've never taken anything from you. And he said, yes, that's true. I said, I've never given you anything and I've never taken a penny from you. I said, now I'm sick, I need some help with medication. He said, oh, you can get that anyway. I said, yeah, but they wanted this number. So he gave me the number. I said, I'm a monk. He said, oh, a monk. So he's a little interested. But I thought it was funny because it's quite ironic that normal people, I guess, having a national insurance number is something important. For a devotee, I didn't even know what it was until I asked. So by constant submission, so the function of the paripatetic preacher, parivrakacharya, of carrying aloft the victorious banner of the commands of divine Sri Guru Sundar, by constant submission to Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, fixing our eye on the pole star of the heard transcendental voice. Profound. Fixing our eye on the pole star of the heard transcendental voice. That is real nishtha. That is avasyatmika abhud here. The pole star of the transcendental heard voice of Sri Guru Sundar. By constant submission to Sri Guru and the Vaishnava, fixing our eye on the pole star of the heard transcendental voice, we must always bear in mind that we have been initiated in the vow of the paripatetic preacher for the sole purpose of promulgating the heart's desire of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Promulgating the heart's desire of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. If we are constantly inspired by the duty of discoursing about the truth, If we are constantly inspired . So this is very important. We must become inspired. See, in the material world, everyone is inspired by the wrong thing. People are inspired to talk rubbish on television. They're inspired to gossip. They're inspired to talk prajalpa. They're inspired to waste time. They're inspired to eat too much. They're inspired to sleep too much. They're inspired to forget Krishna. They're inspired towards sex. They're inspired towards attraction to the impermanent. They're inspired by listening to newspapers, listening to the news. They're inspired by garbage. They're inspired by, but no one's inspired by the truth. You see? So we are the ones who have to carry the banner of truth of Sri Guru Sundar. So we must be inspired to speak the truth. If we're not inspired to preach, then we're sick. That means there's sickness in our movement. The preaching has slowed down. Prabhupada, I saw personally, even he couldn't walk. He wanted to preach. Even when he was extremely sick, he wanted to preach. Even when he was old age, even when he was dying, he wanted to preach. So we must be inspired to follow in the footsteps of these Parabrahmacharyas. Parabrahmacharya, the real meaning of Parabrahmacharya Astratara, is the peripatetic preacher, which carries aloft the victorious banner of the commands of the divine Sri Guru Sundar by constant submission to Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. So a devotee must be inspired to go door to door, to go to every town and village, and to have no other purpose than to please Krishna. And if you get that opportunity, then the blessings are extremely profound. And they say that sometimes you don't know what you have until it's taken away. So be careful. You don't know what you have until it's taken away. And when you see that there's such an opportunity to preach and we're not doing it, then it's very sad. So we are neither enjoyers nor abnegators of mundane entities. We recognize as our highest objective the desire for carrying with veneration the shoes of the order of the Paramahansas. These are profound. We recognize, is there a little tissue? We recognize we're neither an enjoyers nor abnegators. We're not enjoyers. We have no business enjoying and we have no business rejecting. Because to enjoy is an illusion. And to abnegate is also an illusion. Because it is like a crook who comes into a room. None of the property is his. So why should he enjoy and why should he give it up? So we come into this world naked and we go out naked. So we have no business enjoying it nor giving it up. What is our purpose? We are neither enjoyers nor abnegated mundane entities. We recognize the highest objective is a desire for carrying with veneration the shoes of the order of the Paramahansas. So the connection with the Paramahansas is the order of the Paramahansa. Prabhupada said, you will be connected to me by my order, not by sentimental. It is not simply a sentiment. Prabhupada was connected to his guru by his order. And he said one time, my qualification is that I have always carried out the order of my Guru Maharaj. And he said, and I will stand on it. He said, I will stand on that. I have never deviated one single inch. So that profound order of his Guru Maharaj was Prabhupada's life and soul. And that's why he succeeded where others could only dream. It will be our duty to proclaim to all the people that complete reliance on the transcendental absolute truth is by far the highest form of freedom, and one that is infinitely superior to the partial independent mastery over the distorted reflected entity in the shape of this mundane world. By holding the straw between our teeth in supplication, we shall carry aloof the banner of the real freedom to all persons. We shall be constantly engaged in chanting the exhilarating name of Sri Hari by adopting as our fundamental enlightening principle that the highest path is the path of submission, endorsed by Sri Rupa with the further exhortation to cherish the unwavering faith that he will always protect us. Jai Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada. Yes. So that is the lecture that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati gave when they went to the Western world. As you can see, the person who carried it out was His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, not His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta anything else, or Paramahansa anyone else. And therefore, one should be very careful to understand that the empowerment to fulfill such a mission is not in the hands of any ordinary entity of this world, but is in the hands of the great Paramahansa, like Srila Prabhupada. And anyone else is simply taking Prabhupada's remnants. That's all. So we should stick closely to the feet of Prabhupada and always be faithful to him, whether or not we agree with one thing and another, but we must agree with Prabhupada's desire that he must always be glorified and his mission should always be glorified. And Prabhupada was always very careful to point out that he is the founder of Acharya, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That was his heart and soul. So at least we should try to keep that as the pole star of our commitment to fulfilling his desires. Okay, anyway, I don't plan all these things, I'm sorry, they just come out. Is there any questions or any points? Yeah, don't ask about cancer. That's the only thing, or medical remedies or cures. According to modern science, I've got 3 weeks to live. And according to Krishna, I don't know what's going on. So it's a mystery on both sides. So I don't have any answers. My health is like it's always been, pretty crazy. And I've never understood how the body works. So what I've got, I don't know what it is. But they say it's bad, and it does give me trouble. As far as cures go, I haven't a clue. And it's honestly something that requires some tests, which I'm beginning tomorrow. But anyway, even with all the tests and everything, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But apart from that, if there's any other questions anyone has, they can ask. Any points, even on this talk. Because I think we have to finish up soon because they close up Prabhupada's rooms. Is there any questions? Even personal questions, anything, whatever. Because you're all here now, and I don't know when you'll all be together. So if there's anything on your mind, you can ask. I thank everyone for coming. And it's wonderful to be in the Association of Devotees. I'd like to come every day, but unfortunately my regime is quite difficult in terms of doing my rounds and trying to keep some sanity with diet and everything. Ties up a lot of my day, even though I'd like to be just jumping around, running backwards and forwards. So I try to keep a very strict schedule. Because of that, I can't take on too many things, even if I want to. And then when I break the schedule, I usually end up getting into problems. So I have to be strict. So even if I can, which I'd like to come every morning, it'd be too much endeavor. And unfortunately, it would slow down the progress of recovery, if there is any. So I have to just stay in one place and try and get healthy somehow. The main problem I have physically is weight loss and anemia and things like that, because I don't know, you people, how many people know, we have doctors here, they all know about cancer. It tends to work from within, and you have to keep an eye on it because it takes over. And so far, it hasn't taken over fully, but it's there. If it goes away, I'll be very happy. If it sticks around, then I have to allow for it, because you can't ignore it. I've tried. It doesn't allow you. So, basically, I went to Brazil. I don't know what miracles went on there. I don't think any, but at least some curing went on of some kind. And technically speaking, I'm better off than the doctors say I should be. So if that's any consolation, when I go and see this doctor tomorrow, last time I spoke to him, he said, what you have and what you look like don't make sense. And this time, I don't know what he'll say. Maybe he'll say, what you have and what you look like look pretty good. It's starting to look the same. But I'm not... As I said last time, I haven't changed my tune. It's completely in the hands of Krishna. If he wants to destroy me, the body, then he's welcome. It's his body. And if he wants to keep it going for a few weeks, a few months, a few years, that's his choice. And if anything I can do to prolong my service to Krishna, I will. And if there's anything I can't do, then I'll just try to take shelter of Krishna as best I can. What I'd like to say to devotees is it's a very individualistic thing. And maybe I haven't been communicating with devotees, maybe I haven't been associating enough. But it's very hard to be moving inside yourself and doing a lot of external things. Because when you haven't got a lot of time, you can't just pretend you've got a lot of time. Now, if I get a lot of time, great. But if I don't, I don't want to end up tripping over myself. So time to me is precious, and I need to be very monitored very carefully, because the main thing is how Krishna conscious you are at the time of death, nothing else. Everything else is just pie in the sky. And the only thing I look forward to is that obviously that I will leave my body in Vrindavan. If I leave my body, if I don't leave my body, then I'll be in the car park in my van. So if anyone sees me in the car park in my van, they know I haven't left my body. And if they find out I'm in Vrindavan, I'll be in a Jamuna and some ashes. So no problem either way. That's about it, really, on that side. So what I was going to do was go to India, but before, I have some medical things to sort out. And I have to make decisions which are only my decisions. They're personal. And they're between me and the doctors and my body and different things like that. But I can assure everyone, as soon as the indications are clearly there, I will be on the first plane to Vrindavan. And that I promise. But I'll do it when I do it. So sometimes I know devotees say, well, you should rush off there and die. But it's not so easy to die. even when you're supposed to die. And I need to try to at least make sure that Krishna wants me to die. If he wants me to, then I die tomorrow. But if he wants me to do some more preaching, then I can't just simply dismiss that he may want that. I can't just personally, it's not such a big deal to say you're going to die, because dying is something someone else does. You don't do it. Remember that. You don't die. Somebody kills you. Right? So therefore, if material energy wants to kill me, nothing I can do about it. And I'm not going to argue about it. But if material energy keeps me alive for some reason, then I have to try and see if that's what Krishna wants. So it's very confusing. And if you're in a body like mine, where you've been going around like a madman for 30 odd years, then to stop and just simply die, even if it is just go to Vrindavan, isn't that simple? Because I might go there and not die, which would be lovely. Because that's what I'd like to do too. But at the same time, I don't know if you know Vrindavan, but I've lived in Vrindavan for 5 years on and off, and the food there has zero nutrition. And if you're sick like I am, you need enzymes, you need iron, you need fish, you need things in your blood to keep you going. So if I give up that, it's also not healthy. So Brazil has extremely good nutritious and value. And to get to India from Brazil takes about 14 hours, which I can do. So it's not, nowadays you can move very fast. So I'm just telling everyone in case they're wondering what's going on. And as I say, if the doctors give me a report and it's very bad, maybe things will change differently. I don't know what the report they will give. They do some tests and they tell you what your condition is. And then you decide from there. Other than that, I'd like to thank all the devotees who've been so kind and offered so many wonderful letters. And I'd like to reply to all the cards and all the goodwill. And I'd like to somehow reciprocate so much love that I've been given. It's very impossible. And I must say the affection has been tremendous. And I've been shocked, utterly shocked, at how someone as myself, who I consider to be a very hard-hearted person, could receive so much kindness from the Vaishnavas. But at least the wonderful thing is that it showed me another side of devotees which I wasn't aware of. And that is that they have very deep feelings. And they are wonderful people, even if we don't all think that about them. And I think that that's been one revelation to me anyway. Okay, any other points, questions? I think we'll finish up then because I got to go home as well and finish my rounds as usual.
Question.
Oh yeah?
Sorry, should I ask you, what would you like kind of send out as a group in terms of preaching? What advice would you give to us that you would like us to do in terms of preaching?
Well, that's why I read what I read. You see, it was motivated. It was actually worked out what I would say in secret coded form. What they call cryptic writing. The point is that we should use all our energy to benefit other people. Because the nature of this world is to be very selfish. And selfishness breeds envy. And envy makes us more and more hard-hearted. So we should always live our lives for others. That's Vedic culture. Now, in this fast-moving world, it's easy to become very selfish because it's a very selfish world and it's a very envious world and it's full of jungle creatures. And these people here, they have no interest in Krishna or God. So the crest jewel of the Vaishnava is his humility. So we should always be humble carriers of the footwear of the Paramahansas, of the given order of Sri Gaurasundara. So Lord Chaitanya has given instruction that my name will be known in every town and village. That doesn't mean that everyone goes around saying Lord Chaitanya. What it means is that we preach in every town and village of this world. So whatever position we're in, we should use it to benefit others spiritually. Whatever that means in terms of Pandavasena means that you have to sacrifice as much as you can, especially in your youth, to try to please Krishna and to please Prabhupada. So that's always a healthy perimeter. And then I think obviously the most important thing, as Prabhupada said, is to save yourself. So even if you want to benefit others, if you want to benefit others by being a medical doctor, you have to become a doctor first, isn't it? If you want to benefit others by being a dentist, you have to become a dentist. So if you want to benefit others by being a devotee, you have to become a devotee. Then you can benefit others. So we have to parallel. I want to have darshan. What time did it close? Oh, okay. So I want to go. So I think the thing is that in a practical way, if you can stay strong, don't crumble, and don't become disjointed, and fix the pole star of the order of Srila Prabhupada as your commitment. And always be making sacrifice. Don't become selfish. Some sacrifice should be there. Jagnaya via Vishnu. Prabhupada used to say, Jagnaya, Jagna, Jagna. Without Jagna, there's nothing. Without sacrifice, there's nothing. Because sacrifice is the connection with Vishnu. Prabhupada said, your service is your umbilical cord to Krishna. When you cut that cord, you have nothing. There's no food. There's no life. So you must keep that cord open. Don't take it casual. And don't take it as if it's something you'll always have. I remember one time, I was in Dublin. And I was walking in the street and a girl came up to me and she was crying. And she had three kids. And I recognized her. I saw her in Bury Place in 1971. This was 1998. Some year like that, say 98. And she was crying in emotion. And she came up to me and she remembered Tribhuvana. I couldn't remember her name. I think in those days we were a bit staunch. So we never tried to know the girls' names. But I recognized her face. And she said to me, she said, you know, they were the best time in my life when I was in Bury Place. She said, I left. She was married to some kami guy and kids. And she was, even though she was a respectable woman, obviously, but she was suffering. She said, you know, I never forget those times. She said, but there's nothing I can do now. So she felt spiritually lost. You understand? So Krishna had given her an opportunity, even though I invited her. I said, well, at least come to the temple, mix with devotees. But she didn't come. But the point was is that she was given an opportunity in her youth to pursue something which would help her throughout her life. And due to circumstances beyond our control or whatever, she became, if you like, lost to this world. And she was, you could tell, heartbroken. So we have opportunity, somehow or other, we've been given great opportunity to serve Krishna, so we should take it very seriously. And Prabhupada said one thing on the Vyasa side. He said, anyone who comes in contact with this Krishna consciousness and does not take advantage, he said, he is the greatest rascal. And that made me really shook. He said, he is the greatest rascal. And then he went on further, he said, there's no greater rascal than that. He said that, so that's pretty profound. So take advantage, because if you don't, you're a rascal, according to Prabhupada. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi. Ki jai.